This is Dr. Don Wilton.
If you've ever wondered why I present Jesus to you, it's because Jesus died for you on a cross. He's God's Son. He is God. And God so loved the world that He gave us the Lord Jesus. And Jesus came to this earth and He lived on this earth, and then He was taken and crucified on a cross. And when He died on that cross, He took upon Himself your sin and my sin. And He died. And when He died, your sin and my sin died with Him. Then by the power of God, He was raised on the third day, so that Jesus now is alive. And when Jesus came out of the grave, He didn't bring our sin with Him. Our sin remained in the grave. So now here it is. All of us have sinned. Every one of us is a sinner. The only way that you can have a relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, is through the Lord Jesus, because He's the way. He's truth. He's the life. No man can come to God excepting through Jesus, because Jesus is the one who, through His death and resurrection, makes it possible for you and me to be forgiven of our sin. Because when we trust Him, when we confess our sin and repent before Him and give our hearts and lives to Him, and He comes into our lives, our sin, past tense, is present tense forgiven. Because Christ has already paid the price. He did that for me.
Oh yes, we're diving right back into this wonderful series from Dr. Don Wilton called 10 Keys to Victory. As a matter of fact, if you've just joined us, this is The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author, evangelist, and pastor. And these next few moments, we're going to be building on the blocks of yesterday, starting with listening with God, listening to God, and seeing how that applies to giving us victory in our life. That's a word that gets thrown around an awful lot. But being on top of the situation as opposed to underneath it is a first step to victory. If you'd like to speak with someone, pray with someone, we're here for you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673, or online at theencouragingword.org. The Encouraging Word. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
God's 10 keys to victory. Okay, watch this again very quickly. Children of Israel, they've been brought out of Egypt. They've been saved, they've been redeemed. They find themselves at the foot of Mount Sinai. I've actually been there myself. I've climbed up to the top of Mount Sinai, and a bunch of you went with me. Remember that experience? Amazing. 2 or 3 hours on a camel just to begin with in the pitch dark. Pitch dark. Freezing cold. Mount Sinai is way up there. Way up there. So they pitch camp at the foot of the mountain. Moses goes up on top of the mountain. God gives him the Ten Commandments. And the children of Israel are now being prepared to go. They don't know what lies ahead of them. They don't know that they've got 40 years to look forward to. 40 years of wanderings. They don't know about all the battles yet. They've had some of them already. They don't know how many times they're going to need food. They don't know how really thirsty they're going to get. They don't know how many of their friends and family are going to grumble their way across the desert. And God gives to them what I'm going to call the 10 keys to victory. Here they are. Write them down. Key number one, listen. Listen. Listen to God. Chapter 19, verse 3, God says to Moses right up front, He said, I'm about to speak. And from that point on, we find repeatedly God saying to Moses, excuse me, are you listening to me? Have you ever talked to someone, feel like they don't listen? We all go through that, don't we? Did you hear anything I said? Am I suggesting that there's someone here right now this morning who hasn't heard a word? Yeah, your mind's somewhere else. Listening actually is a discipline. Listen, that's key number one. Just listen. Number two, obey. That's chapter 19, verse 5. I just read that to you. a minute ago. Chapter 19, verse 5 is a powerful. Now, therefore, if indeed you will obey me. Obedience is the clarion call of Christian discipleship. It's very simple, folks. Listen to what God says and then do what he says. We're struggling with that in America. As a nation, this nation that we love so much, we're not listening to the Lord. America's no longer listening to God. You know who we're listening to? One another. We're listening to political expediency. We're listening to compromise. I heard a country music artist yesterday on the radio say, quote, "Most important thing for us as Americans is to just do whatever we want as long as it makes us happy." Let me say that again. Most important thing for us Americans to do is to do whatever it is we want as long as it makes us happy. Really? Listen, obey. Number three, respond. There's your third key to victory. Respond. You know that verse 8, all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. We will do." Respond to it. And sometimes in our own individual lives, that's what you and I have got to do. We've got to actually respond. We've got to say yes. We've got to get up and go. We've got to actually do. You know, that's true of all kinds of life. Yeah, I've got some great friends who smoke cigarettes. I love them. I don't love them or not love them because they smoke. 35 years ago, I would have sat down and had one with you. But I got a friend right now who told me just recently, he said, "Man, I'm trying to give up smoking." And I said to him, "Well, give it up." So I'm sorry about all you clinical psychologists and squeegees and everybody out there and you nicotine gum chewers and patch makers and all these wonderful things that you do and standing on your head upside down in the bathtub and all the other kinds of things that you do to try and stop down and slow down. I know, I'm going to get at least 150 letters telling me that I don't know what I'm talking about because smoking is addictive, but I'm one of those very simple-minded people that I think what you've got to do when you face something, you've got to lay that thing down. You've got to go through the hurt that is required in order to get through it. It hurts. You've got to writhe. You've got to sweat. You've got to walk around trying to inhale fumes everywhere. You've got to do whatever it takes. Listen, this is what God was saying. Watch this, folks. These are the keys to victorious living. You children of Israel belong to me. You've got to get through this next 40 years. It is going to be the toughest thing. Life is filled with challenges. Here's what I'm going to tell you to do. Number one, just listen to what I say. Number two, obey it. Number three, respond. Number four, worship. Worship. Now, when you get into chapter 20, for example, there is a tremendous amount of detail about worship. The bottom line is verse 24 of chapter 20. You need to make an altar. By the way, what God does is he first discards all the things that impede and get in the way of worship. He said, "I'm not here asking you to worship me with your silver and gold. Don't come in here and bring me all these trappings. Don't think just because you bought the bus for the church that you're worshiping. You can buy 100 buses. And by the way, I'm very glad if you bought the bus. And we need another 5 buses, if any of you are wondering if we need buses. I love it. We're looking for volunteers to buy the bus. But what God is not interested in is buying the bus. What he's interested in is the heart of worship that beats to the point at which that person who has been blessed recognizes a need before God and says, "I'm the one who's blessed. I'm going to, as my act of worship, provide the means for these children or for this group to be able to be transported. Therefore, I'm going to provide that." It comes out of the heart of worship. You all with me on that? And when he talks about worship, folks, and it goes on and on. You know, I didn't even read this to you, but in chapter 25 and verse 8, you've got a key worship verse. Listen to what God said, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell there in the midst of them. Isn't that beautiful? What we do when we worship God is part of the key to kingdom living. It's the key to victory. It's an indispensable, fundamental truth. I can promise you, because you have stopped and you are worshiping the Lord Jesus in the beauty of His holiness, God is going to enable you to have the victory. Worship. Number five, focus. Focus. Look at chapter 24, verse 8. Moses took the blood and threw it on the people. Now, I've got a whole lot of verses about the blood. The blood comes up over and over and over again. Chapter 29, verse 12. Chapter 29, verse 16, 20, and 21. And from this point on, non-stop, God shows them that He seals His covenant with the blood. He was wounded for our transgression, because without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. Blood is life. And when Jesus gave His blood, He gave His life. And because He gave His life, He conquered sin and death and the grave. That is why, as we sing that great spiritual song, there ain't no grave that can hold this body down. There ain't no grave that can hold this body down. Because in Adam all die, but in Christ we've been made alive. It's because of the blood.
You're listening to the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, and he's got so much more to come in today's message in just a few moments. But we want to remind you that we're here for you. Dr. Don insists I pause for just a moment to say, hey, this is not just a presentation. This is a communication, a conversation, and we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know specifically how we can pray for you. You can call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or you can meet us online at theencouragingword.org. Not only this message on the 10 keys to victory, but a sense of victory on a daily basis is what we're praying for in your life. Again, 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. Now back to today's message, 10 keys to victory with Dr. Don Wilton.
There ain't no grave that can hold this body down. Because in Adam all die, but in Christ we've been made alive. It's because of the blood. That's focus. What God was saying to them was, listen, there are a lot of things that go in life, but don't lose your focus. Keep looking at the blood. Remember the sacrifice. Remember it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Listen, obey, respond, worship, focus. Number six, give. Give. Look at verse 25. I've read it to you in verses 1 all the way through verse 7. And then repeatedly from that point on, God gives to these people one of the greatest keys to kingdom living. And that is your offerings to the Lord. So if I did something very cheeky today and very rude, and I was to come out of this platform and start on the front row, and I was to look every one of you in the eye and say to you, are you giving at least 10% of your income, a tithe, to the Lord's work in your church? What would you say? Are you giving offerings to Him? Offerings are over and above. If you take encouraging today, impacting tomorrow, what our church has been involved in, did you make a pledge? Have you fulfilled that pledge? You see, my friend, it's not about the money. It's about what God will do for you. Some of you are really battling financially. And there are a lot of reasons why we battle financially. Good people battle financially. People get laid off their jobs. There are a lot of reasons for that. Tremendous health expenses. Things that happen. You got to go and look at your giving to the Lord. It starts right here. Don't allow yourself to be robbed of one of the fundamental keys to victory. You will squawk and scratch all your life financially if you're not giving to the Lord Jesus. Now, folks, I'm telling you that straight up. I'm a pastor. I can never win when it comes to money. I know that. I will never win. I can get up here and talk about money. This half year will say, oh, I can't believe he talked about money. And this half year says he doesn't talk about money. I'm just going to tell you from God's word. It's one of the significant keys to victory. You got to deal with God on this. And the blessings that come when you give, you're missing a blessing. Folks, some of you are just tipping God. You're just playing a game. And some of you are saying, I'm going to give to God, but I'm going to keep such control over it because it's mine. And all you do is you give to selected things because it means you can control it. That's why you do it. Over my dead body, will I ever... I'm going to give to this and I'm going to make sure and I'm going to give to this and I'm going to control it. It's control. God says offerings is the complete release of control. It's letting it go. Always remember one of the greatest lessons I ever learned growing up in Africa. We had a lot of people in Africa who didn't have food. And I remember like it was yesterday when I was a very young boy. I remember my mom and dad making a wonderful meal for a very poor man who came to our home one day, knocked on the door. My mother made a wonderful sandwich and a bowl of soup and something to drink and gave it to him. And I can still see that man walking down the steps. And when he got to the gate of our home, he threw that down in a fit. He just threw it down on the sidewalk. And I remember as a boy, he said, can you believe that? I mean, there was a sense in which in my boyhood it made me angry. And I'll never forget my mother, my sweet, precious mother saying, son, that doesn't matter. It's not about what he did with it. It's about the fact that I gave it to him. I get the blessing. So why don't you start taking your hands off? Specialized and selected giving is eating out the heartbeat even of this church. It's on a rampage. We've set ourselves up to decide we are going to give and we're going to give to what we want to give, and that's that. I'm your pastor and I intend to be. And God, here, this is a key to kingdom living. He's putting this all out. He's just laying it in front. And you know why he does this? Because God wanted them to be blessed. He wanted them to be blessed. Listen, obey, respond, worship, focus, give. Number 7, submit. Submit, chapter 29. This is such a powerful passage because he gets Moses and he gets Aaron and he gets Aaron's son. He gets those who have been called to be priests and leaders, and he sets them apart and he turns to the children of Israel and he says, listen, God is going to use all of you. There's no status. Nobody serves according to position. But functionally, I'm going to set before you people that I have anointed to lead you spiritually. Submit to them. Submit to them. I know some of you may say I'm old-fashioned, but I'm still one of those people who believe in respecting one's elders. It concerns me when I watch or see a young person, for example, go up to an older person and treat them just like anybody else. There's a respect. It's not a homage or there's a respect. I'm one of those. Some of you are going to shoot, but I believe in yes, sir, no, ma'am, and how can I help you? And I still call people Mr. Joe if I need to, even at my lofty age. It's a discipline for me. It's only now, in my age now, that I'm starting to catch up with some of the older people in our congregation. Submit. Understand these things. How many times did Moses get up and say, this is what God said? And every time they would not submit to what Moses said, bang, down they went. Of course, now Moses had to make sure he had a word from the Lord, right? Submit. Number 8, intercede. Intercede. What a beautiful word. Spoke about that when we prayed for each other at the beginning of the service. Intercede. That passage there in chapter 32 and verse 11, just consider how the children of Israel had sinned against God. And Moses stood there and said, please, Lord, don't treat them harshly. Please, Lord, forgive them. Please, Lord, restore them. That's a key to victorious living. Well, I'd love to. I would love to go around our congregation and find the numbers of people that have interceded for me. You and I have got intercessors going for us all the time. Parents, intercede for your children. Of course, I know your children are perfect, but I'm talking about those who have children that are not. Intercede for them. Go to God. Folks, why don't we, instead of crucifying people who mess up, chasing them out, why don't we just get on our knees and intercede for them? Instead of looking someone up and down because they've sinned, let's intercede for them. Instead of going up to someone to find out exactly what it is that he or she did, why don't you just go up to them and say, you know, word is out about something, but I want you to know that for me, I'm praying for you, my friend. And Moses did that. And the number of times that God changed his mind. Someone said to me, does God change his mind? Yes, he does. Evidence is all over when we read the story. And the basis upon which he changes his mind is the intercession of those that come before him and seek his face. Number 9, repent. Chapter 33. Boy, I'll tell you what a powerful chapter 33. I didn't even read this because I didn't have time, but from verse 4 through verse 6, culminates in verse 6. Therefore, the people of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments. Did you get that? Therefore, the people of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments. And if you go back into that preamble there, God says to them, now take off your pagan idols. Get rid of them. Repent of those. Stop it. They repented. Repentance means when you come before God and you acknowledge that you're a sinner, you confess that to him. Repentance means that you lay it at the foot of the cross, you turn and you go in the opposite direction. You don't pick up a little bit of it. Lay aside the ornaments of your paganism. Repent. Stop. Lay it before God. Turn around and walk in the opposite direction. Repent. And number 10, celebrate. Celebrate. This is what God told them. Celebrate. Chapter 34 and verse 5 through 9 must be one of the most incredible passages in all of Scripture. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing what God says in this powerful passage. When he turns around and he says, I just want you to know that I'm exactly who I say I am. God descended in a cloud and said, I am your God. I'm merciful. I'm slow to anger. I'm the one who forgives sins. Yes, and I'm the one who does not even so much for a semblance tolerate sin. But I want you to know I'm the change maker. I'm compassionate and I'm merciful. So what is God saying here to these people as they begin this incredible journey? I think among many others, and you've probably discovered 100 more of them, God's 10 keys to victory. Listen, obey, worship, respond, worship, focus, give, submit, intercede, repent, celebrate. I wish I had a little backpack that we could make, and each one of us for the next year, never take that backpack off. And in the backpack are the 10 keys to victory. And all day we just keep taking these out. Oh yeah, well, God says, if I want to get to the promised land, this is a key to kingdom living. And it all begins with our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Have you trusted him? Get on board. Trust him as Savior and Lord. And then establish in your life the keys to victory. With God on your side, you can. That's why if God be for us, someone like to finish that verse? If God be for us, who can be against us? This is it.
And what a blessing to know that he will do what we cannot do. Our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton, will be back in just a moment with some more thoughts, but I pray you would know we are ready to talk and pray with you right now. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. I know in this day and age of typing and texting, sometimes it just feels good to break the mold and have a conversation. Let us pray with you. 866-899-9673. 9673 or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. Here's Dr. Don.
God has spoken to you, hasn't He? And you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on the cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much.
Is today the day that you give your heart to Jesus? Boy, we'd love to pray with you about it and celebrate that. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD, 866-899-9673. And this is just the beginning. Let us put some resources in your hands that will help you grow in your faith. The number again, 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org, where you'll see a great deal about this fresh new series from Dr. Wilson called Take a Stand. It's time to take a stand.
Hello, my friends. I want to just personally speak to you for a minute today from my heart to yours. I hope you're having a great day today. I don't think that there's ever been a more better or perhaps important time for us to respond to this world by standing up for righteousness. I know that you'll agree with me. In fact, with this in mind, I'd like to invite you to become an Encourager ministry partner with me. Together, we can impact lives both now and for all eternity. The Daily Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please, let me ask you to call the number provided at the end of today's broadcast and say, I want to become an encourager. Thanks so much for helping me.
That number again is 866-899-WORD, 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org.
I'm so honored I can write you and be a part of the Encouraging Word each Sunday. Thank you with all of my heart. I'm a disabled widow and can't attend my local church. I've been watching you for a long time and receive awesome blessings from your sermons, and I love to sing along with the congregation in the choir. I especially am thankful you mentioned those of us watching by television, making us feel a part of your church family, even though we can't physically be present. Thank you so very much for the love and consideration you show to everyone. God bless you, Dr. Wilton. Your ministry gives me the strength to go on when I'm very discouraged because I live alone and hardly get out.